Yeah, I think realizing that sometimes to be comforting, we need to be uncomfortable. Because often when we are trying to throw out a cliche or just make it better or fix it, it's really because we're uncomfortable with the situation, and so we want to make it better. So I think choosing to say, you know what, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to sit here and not know what to say or what to do or be afraid that I'm going to mess it up, but I'm going to show up anyway.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Hey, fourth chair friends, we are excited that you're here with us again, and we want to give a special shout out to Carrie Ann, who says she listens from Johannesburg, South Africa. So we love that, Carrie Ann. Thank you for listening. She said she just stumbled across the podcast. So however that happened, we are really grateful. And that's one reason we love for you to leave reviews or share the podcast. It's because it helps more people find them. So Carrie Ann, we are glad that you found us and that you're one of our fourth chair friends today.
Yeah, Carrie Ann, we'd love to hear your response to this confession question. But what's a time someone showed up for you during change?
Well, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to introduce my friend, Carrie Lynn, who is sitting in our fourth chair with KLRC.
Hey, guys.
She is also my bestie and has been in my life for how many years?
I think, what, going on 10?
Yeah, I think so. So a few years ago, it's a really long time, it seems, we had been going through the adoption process with this sweet little boy who had been in our home for 4 months. And we got the tragic call that his mother wanted him back, which was really, I know, in hindsight, what this little boy needed more than anything. Mm-hmm. But by that time, I had fallen madly in love with this little boy with blue eyes.
Jennifer.
I didn't think that I'd be a good boy mom. And all of a sudden, I'm like pegging kids with balls in the head, you know, just like throwing these dodgeball, you know, playing games, letting him rip heads off Barbies and loving that smell of little boy that's kind of like wet puppy. I just didn't know how great these little boys were. And so I fell in love with this little boy and knew that I had to give him back. So I called Carrie freaking out. I was hysterical and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but I need you to come because I have to go drop him off. And I need you to stay with my girls because I don't know how to explain this to him. And so she walks with me into the bedroom. I'm holding Taylor. We're crying in his bedroom.
Oh,
that was his. And I said, I don't even know what to do. My husband's not going to be able to handle taking this bed down. So I went, dropped off this little boy. We cried together in the room. I came home to the smell of brownies. Carrie was baking brownies with my little girls. And I walked into his room later and she had taken down Taylor's bed. And you have no idea how one woman, tiny woman with a screwdriver, what a difference that made. But she was loving me and showing it for me in such a powerful way. So thank you for that.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Where's the Kleenex?
I know, right?
I know when you guys, I often like sneak into the studio when you guys are recording and like to enjoy, you know, laughing with you, but you're like, hey, join us in the fourth chair today and cry. I'm like, okay. That sounds fun.
Wow. What about you, Carrie?
Well, I think that, this whole idea of sitting with someone when they're going through grief or with change is something that actually started in my life a long time ago through a therapist friend that I had who knows I'm a really nerdy person and asked me to research what it means to sit Shiva with someone, which is a Jewish custom that you can kind of see in the Old Testament. It's shown when David loses his son and the story of Job when his friends come and sit with him. And it's basically like this beautiful picture of what it looks like to grieve with people. And I think that's something that we're not very good at. I know I'm not very good at it because I'm always the one going, I don't know what to do and I don't know what to say. And not only that, but when I'm going through grief, I pull away from people and I isolate very much. And so I kind of want to do grief privately. And so through my therapist and studying this concept of what it looks like to sit with people in grief and realize it had a biblical background, God really started kind of stretching me in that of what it looks like. And you don't have to have the right thing to say. You don't have to have the right thing to do. You just have to show up, and how that can be simple ways like baking brownies and everything. And so I went through a change transition in my life when I went through my divorce. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of those things where it feels like a death, but you can't grieve it like a death because it's almost taboo in the church to, you know, to walk through a divorce and everything. And I'm like, I wish that there was a funeral so people would make food and, you know, come and do the things. But, you know, I had a couple of experiences through that where some friends sat Shiva with me and showed me what it looked like to do that. One of them, of course, was Jennifer, and I'm like home by myself. My kids were at their dad's, and it was the first weekend that they had gone to their dad's house. And I was alone post-divorce, and it was just this horribly traumatic weekend for me. And the doorbell rings, and there's Jennifer with a 12 pack of Coca-Cola and a Domino's pizza. And I'm like, yes. You know, and we watched a chick flick and we ate pizza and we drank Coke and we didn't talk about what was going on. It was just, she was there with me on the couch in the mess with me. And that was kind of this moment where I'm like, this feels more biblical to me than anything that I've ever experienced, where people, you know, send the pretty flower with the poetic card and the poem that they wrote and all that. I'm like, just show up, up and be there.
Yeah. You know, my son was hurt in a drunk driving accident several years ago. The drunk driver passed away on impact, and it left my son in the hospital for 6 weeks and then a year of recovery to relearn to walk. He was hurt really badly. And I remember one night being in the hospital, and everything changed in that moment, because life comes to a halt when your child is critically injured. And I was sleeping on a cot in the hospital room, and my son was in the bed, and he had 13 fractures from the waist down and fractures above too. But I remember my sister walking in, and I love this concept that you're sharing, Carrie, because now I have a name for it, because she just slid into that little tiny cot with me, wrapped her arms around me from behind, and just laid with me. And it was enough. It was so, in that moment, like, she was the hands and feet of Christ in that moment to a mama who couldn't make anything be okay, who, not only were we being impacted with change with my son and with our life as we were wrapping around this, but the drunk driver was uninsured. And so suddenly we were faced with mountains and mountains of debt that we didn't see coming. So our whole world turned upside down. And I'm grateful for Mindy in that moment, that she was just there.
Yeah. And when I thought about this question, my thoughts went a little different direction. You know, I think we sit Shiva, and then at some point we're ready to get up again. And we need people who are willing to help us be brave and courageous and move forward. And, you know, I've shared on here that we went through about a decade of infertility. And at one point God kind of said, you know what, you're going to birth books. And that started happening, and it was wonderful and scary. And I started getting invitations like, will you come speak at this retreat? Which was terrifying. So our friend Kim, everyone knows Kim. I said, Kim, will you just go with me to this retreat? And she was like, yes. And Kim packs like anything you need, which is very reassuring, but she's also just a calming presence. So she drove to this retreat with me, and I sat in front of the place with my hands on the steering wheel, you know, saying nothing, just staring out the window. And she was like, Holly, you have to get out of the car. And I was like, why? And she was like, because you're the speaker. But she just went with me and was my bodyguard slash bouncer slash encourager, and would say, go take a nap if that's what I needed, or, you know, you did great after I spoke. And she's done that several times. And so I think we need people to mourn with us. And then we also need people to come alongside us and give us courage. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I could have done that first retreat alone. I needed to know that no matter what I did or how badly I messed it up, I would go home with someone who loved me.
Yeah. So you know? For those who don't know Kim, what role did she play in your life?
She is my very dear friend. And
so a good, good friend.
Yes. Very close friend.
Yeah. So I, because some don't know, they might think she's a sister or she's a, so dear
friend who's
really,
like his sister.
I love that.
So don't you think that we complicate the act of showing up for one another? Like what Carrie was saying earlier, we feel like we have to say the right words, we have to bring the right thing. So how can we show up for one another in a way that people will understand that we're just trying to love them?
Well, I think understanding what they need is important. So asking what they need, I think, is really key, because we tend to operate from what we need in that moment, you know, or what we would be comforted from or need in that moment. So to ask a person just very specifically, what do you need right now in this moment? And how can I help you with that?
That's good.
Yeah, I think realizing that sometimes to be comforting, we need to be uncomfortable. Because often when we are trying to throw out a cliche or just make it better or fix it, it's really because we're uncomfortable with the situation. And so we want to make it better. So I think choosing to say, you know what, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to sit here and not know what to say or what to do or be afraid that I'm going to mess it up, but I'm going to show up anyway.
Yeah. Carrie, you went through, you know, going through a divorce. There's an identity shift there.
Yeah.
There's how did people show up for you in a way that helped you in that transition?
I think for me, and this is just allowing yourself, allowing the people in your life to know who you are.
Yeah.
And so like, a lot of people are really good at what do you need and then saying what I need is this.
Yeah.
I am the worst at that.
That's good.
Because my philosophy of life is I don't need anything. I can take care of everything by myself.
Yeah.
Thankfully I had people in my life that knew that that's kind of where I operate from and they know me well enough to know that they need to get up in my business even when I don't invite them to.
Yeah.
And so some of the most meaningful things that happened for me were actually where good friends of mine, and they were people who I had done life with for a long time. So they had the right to kind of push in on my life. They literally pushed in.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them, there was a guy in our church who, was one of my son's teachers who noticed his shoes were getting ratty and showed up at my house with a brand new pair of Nikes in my son's size without asking. Cause he knew if he asked, I would have said, no, we're fine.
Right.
But he showed up with them. You know, I had to have surgery, and as a single mom with four kids, I'm like, I'll be fine. I can handle this. I can handle this. And I showed up one day, and one of my coworkers, Kara, and my daughter had to spend the whole entire day cleaning my house without asking me first, because they knew if they asked me first, I would have said no.
Right.
And so I think it's just allowing yourself to have the kind of relationships that your people know you and they get you and they're not scared to make you a little bit uncomfortable with helping you even when you don't want to be helped. And I think for me, that's my biggest problem, is this mindset that I have of, even though this is the worst thing I've ever been through and I don't know how I'm functioning, the last thing I'm going to do is ask for help.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think having the kind of friends who will say, I'm going to show up even if you don't ask me, helped, like that saved my life.
Well, but I think that brings up an interesting point, because those who are not in that inner circle that really want to be there for you, you've just given me permission to ask a really close friend, hey, you know her.
Yes.
What is one thing I can do today that will help me be there for her? And so I can get the insight from someone who knows you well. That's a really great point.
Yeah.
Well, I've watched a group of warrior women this past week. They're four women, and I've watched them wrap around a loved one. And literally, I've just been amazed. Like, I just want to I want to cheer them on and let them know the difference that they're making. They came into a crisis and they love my loved one and they wrapped around her, but they were also putting sheets in the dryer. Mm-hmm. They were bringing food in. They were feeding the dog. I remember at one point looking over and seeing these four women wrapped around my loved one, and they were forehead to forehead, hand to hand. No words. It was just a cluster of humanity in that moment. And I honestly, the phrase warrior women came to me. I thought, these are warrior friends, warrior women, and they're exactly what she needs.
We were talking about that concept of sitting Shiva. Uh-huh. And one of the articles that I read about it was talking about modern day, what it looks like in modern day times to sit Shiva with someone. Because we don't sit in sackcloth and ashes and like tear our outer garments anymore. So what does it look like? And I thought this was absolutely like kind of nailed it. I'm like, I think this is what we all want. But they said the fundamental message of sitting Shiva is that we are not alone. Mm-hmm. Every law and custom of Jewish mourning and comforting has at its core the overwhelming motivation to surround those who grieve with a supporting community. Wow. And that's the whole concept, is you're not alone here. Yeah. You know, even if you can't do the right thing or say the right thing, if you can just communicate that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Then you've sat Shiva with that person. You've helped them in that moment.
Yeah.
And as we think about, you know, practical steps that we can take, I think that means that one is just finding a way to show up. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're far away, that might be just a text message. If you're next door, it might be being on the front porch or, like you said, feeding the dog or bringing over the shoes. But just saying, what is one way that I can show up in this person's life today?
Yeah. One of the most memorable, and I can remember almost all of the acts that people did for us when Ryan was in the hospital for months and months. And I remember one guy, we lived on 10 acres and 5 of it we mowed. And I remember driving home from the hospital one night, and it was in the middle of summer, and I just needed a fresh change of clothes and I was going to go right back. And I saw him and his whole family all on riding mowers, just mowing my lawn, weed eating, mowing. His wife, he was on a mower. His son was on a mower. And they were taking care of business. They didn't ask what I needed. They just showed up and did it. And so sometimes just showing up and seeing a really obvious need and saying, I'll do that, is really huge.
Yeah. And I think the needs that are usually obvious to us are in line with how God created us to help.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I love that guy was on a riding lawnmower.
Yeah.
Like you probably didn't want to emotionally process with him. You know, that was probably someone else who was better at that. But he's like, I can drive the mower.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're listening and just think, what is the obvious need that you're drawn to? And even if it seems unusual, like getting out your mower, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just showing up with the gifts that you have and knowing you don't have to have words. You can show up, whether that's cooking. We had this beautiful friend that was going through a health crisis, and she just wanted us to drop food on her doorstep and leave. Like, my gift to her was, I didn't have to see her, you know, in her yoga pants and no makeup and, you know, feeling really exhausted. So I think that there's ways that we can love on people in a way that's, you know, makes sense to them and feels like a gift to them.
Yeah. And one last thing is just like, if somebody asks you, and Carrie, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's so key. If you ask someone and they said, oh no, I'm fine, I don't need anything, then immediately go to a friend that loves her well and say, okay, she said this. And if you think she really means it, awesome. But if you think there's something that I could do, even through you, give you a gift card to give to her, or do this, that you can, she'll feel safe with you. Go to that next person that's closest in the inner circle and ask how you can just be there for her.
Yeah. I think never underestimate just the power of presence.
Yes.
That a lot of times that's what we need. And So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Caitlin, for letting me.
Y'all are
some of
here.
My favorite people in the whole world. So this has been fun.
And tell people how they can hear you.
Yes. So I am on the KLRC morning show, which that means I get up very early.
So early.
Mondays through Fridays, you can listen to us from 6 to 10:30, either on 90.9 KLRC or KLRC.com or through the KLRC app.
Yes. So that means everyone anywhere in the world, even Carrie Ann in Johannesburg, South Africa, can listen to Carrie through the KLRC website.
Yes, she can. And hopefully one day I will get to go visit her because doesn't that sound fun?
Yes, so it
fun. Yes. So you can show up there too.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.